Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building Subweight in Ableton Live 12 for a deep jungle atmosphere. And by Subweight, I don't just mean a heavy low end. I mean the whole relationship between the mono sub, the moving mid texture, the break edits, and the atmosphere sitting around the groove like damp air in a dark room. This is the kind of sound where the tune feels physically heavy, but the top layer still feels haunted, humid, and cinematic. That balances everything in deep jungle and darker D&B. If the sub is weak, the tune loses authority. If the atmosphere is too wide or too busy, the mix gets cloudy and the drums stop cutting through. So the goal here is simple: build weight without losing clarity. What we're making is a three-part bass blueprint. First, a clean mono sub that carries the note weight. Second, a controlled mid-bass layer that gives movement and grit. Third, a jungle atmosphere layer made from sampled texture, break residue, or resampled noise, so the track feels like it exists in a world, not just inside a synth patch. Start with the sub. Don't begin with texture. Don't begin with effects. Begin with the role of the sub itself. On a MIDI track, load operator or wave editable and keep the source simple. A sine-based sub is perfect. Keep it pure, keep it centered, and write a short one or two bar phrase in the key of the tune. Don't make it a drone. Make it behave like a D&B bassline. A strong starting point is to place notes around the drum cycle, especially near the snare backbeat and the space after it. In jungle and rollers, the sub often works best when it breathes around the drums instead of playing constantly. Try notes that are a little shorter than a full beat so the line has shape and the groove can breathe. Keep the level sensible before processing, somewhere around minus 12 to minus 18 dB depending on the source. Keep it mono. Keep glides subtle if you want slides. Nothing flashy yet. Just make it feel intentional. What to listen for here is whether each note lands with authority or whether it blurs into the next one. And also, can you still imagine the snare cutting cleanly through the same bar? If the answer is no, the bass line is already crowding the arrangement. Now shape that sub with discipline. A really practical Ableton stock chain is Utility, EQ8, then Saturator. Use Utility first and force the sub to mono. Then use EQ8 only if the source has extra harmonics that don't belong there. A gentle low pass somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz can work, depending on the patch. If your source is already clean, don't overdo it. Finally, add a small amount of saturator, usually just a few dB of drive, so the sub translates better on smaller speakers without turning into fuzz. Why this works in D&B is because the sub is the emotional weight of the drop. If you overprocess it, you don't get bigger bass. You usually get less bass. The fundamental starts disappearing, and the tune loses that low-end spine that makes a D&B system feel huge. So keep checking the dry and processed versions at matched loudness. Ask yourself whether the note is still clear, still centered, and still heavy in mono. Now let's add movement without stealing the sub's job. Duplicate the bass idea onto a second MIDI track and build a mid-bass or res layer with wave editable, analog, or even a resampled source. This layer should not carry the true low end. High pass it so the sub stays clean. A useful starting point is somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on how dense the drums and arrangement are. For a darker D&B flavor, you've got two good paths. You can go with a restyle layer, using detuned oscillators, slow filter motion, and restrained stereo spread above the low end. Or you can go with a dusty organic texture, like a resampled bass, noisy stab, or grime-heavy mid-range layer. If the tune needs aggression and movement, the res direction is great. If the arrangement is already dense and you need atmosphere plus bass without extra synthetic sheen, go with a dusty organic route. A useful chain here is autofilter, saturator, and then a subtle chorus ensemble or frequency shifter if you really need a little extra motion. But keep the movement in the mids. If this layer starts growing low-end energy, it will fight the sub and make the whole bass sound smaller, not bigger. A great workflow tip is to freeze and flatten or resample this layer to audio once you find something useful that lets you edit it like a sample instead of endlessly tweaking a patch. And honestly, that's very jungle. Build something, print it, then chop it. Now comes the atmosphere, and this is where the deep jungle depth really starts to appear. Don't rely only on synthetic wash. Create an audio track and bring in sampled material. Vinyl air, field recording, break residue, a reversed pad tail, a noisy stab tail, or a slice from a break with the drums removed. The best atmospheres in this style often feel like fragments of a real world, not polished pad clouds. Place the sample so it sits behind the groove, not on top of it. Then shape it with EQ8, auto filter, reverb, and utility. Use CQ8 to high pass aggressively, often around 200 to 400 Hz, so it stays out of the way of the drums and bass. Use auto filter to automate tension and create slow movement between phrases. Use reverb with a restrained decay, maybe around 1.2 to 3 seconds depending on how dense the track is. Then use utility. If the width starts washing across the center too much, the atmosphere should feel like damp air behind the drums, not a giant pad swallowing the mix, not a cinematic cloud that buries the snare, just a haunted layer of space. What to listen for now is whether the texture makes the tune feel deeper without making the snare smaller. And when the break hits, does the atmosphere tuck behind it, or does it compete? That's the real test. Now put the drums in context. Drop in your main break, kick, and snare, and audition everything together in an 8-bar loop. This is the moment where the idea either becomes a track or falls apart. Listen to the relationship carefully. The sub should support the kick without masking the attack. The atmosphere should avoid the snare transient zone. Ghost notes and break fills should still be readable. If the bass sounds great solo but weak against the drums, don't keep polishing the sound. Fix the relationship. This is where DNB differs from a lot of other genres. A bassline that sounds cool on its own can still fail the second the snare arrives. The groove is everything, so shorten notes if needed, reduce mid-bass sustain, move the atmosphere higher with EQ, and make the bass answer the drum phrase instead of competing with it. A really useful move is to think in 2-bar call and response. Let one bar carry more bass weight under the snare, then open up the next bar so the break can breathe. That creates movement without adding more sounds, and in DNB, that kind of phrasing can be more powerful than stacking another layer. Now let's talk breakdown energy and transition design. For the breakdown or pre-drop section, strip the arrangement back and let the subweight survive through contrast. Automate auto filter, reverb dry slash wet, and if needed the bass track's amplitude or note density. Thin the sub pattern near the end of every 4 or 8 bars. Let the atmosphere open up with a filter sweep, then slam the low end back in on the drop. A reverse texture leading into the first downbeat works really well here. Keep it short. 1 bar or 2 bars is often enough. In darker DNB, breakdowns don't need to be long. They need to create tension and then get out of the way. A strong arrangement shape might be the filtered intro with break residue, then a hint of sub, then the full bass weight with drums, then a variation with extra fills or a different bass answer, and finally a second drop that keeps the core idea, but changes the texture. That's how you keep a track DJ-friendly while still making it evolve. Now here's a big one. Movement has to be disciplined. Automate the mid-layer's filter, the atmosphere's volume, or a gentle resonance move. Don't keep twisting the true sub every 2 beats. That usually destroys the punch. If you want slides, make them deliberate and musical. A small glide into the next note can feel amazing in jungle, but if the glide is too long, the bass loses impact and the kick loses authority. A good rule is this: the sub stays physically steady, and the mids do the talking. That's what gives you the illusion of a massive low end without turning the whole mix into mud. At this point, check mono compatibility. This is non-negotiable. Put utility on the bass bus if needed and flip the loop to mono. The sub should stay solid. The atmosphere can collapse somewhat in mono, that's fine, as long as the groove still reads. If the bass suddenly feels smaller, the issue is usually too much low mid stereo energy or facey whitening in the mid layer. Narrow anything under roughly 120 Hz. High pass the atmosphere harder. Reduce chorus depth if the reese is smearing. What to listen for is a very simple question. Does the drop still feel like the same record in mono, or does it suddenly lose its spine? If it loses its spine, the club will hear that too. Once the blueprint is working, commit the best version to Audido. This is where the sampling approach really pays off. Print the bass or atmosphere, then chop tiny hits, reverse tails, and create breakdown punctuation from the material you already built. That might mean a reverse swell into a snare, a sliced bass tail for a fill, a single bar pickup before the drop, or a second drop threadation built from the same source. This is often the difference between a loop and a track. When the idea is 90% right, print it to audio. The last 10% is usually better solved by editing and arrangement than by another round of sound design. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't let the atmosphere live too low. If the low mids are washing over the snare, high pass it harder. Don't make the sub too busy. Constant notes remove impact. Leave space. Don't widen the low end. Keep the sub mono. Don't oversaturate the bass. because the fundamental will thin out, and don't write the bassline without hearing it against the drums early. That's where most people get lost. A good reminder here, if the bass feels huge but the tune feels flat, the fix is often less low end and more contrast. In Deep Jungle, tension comes from what you remove between hits, not from non-stop thickness. So keep the bassline intentional. Let the mid-bass carry the movement. Carve the atmosphere around the snare crack. Use a short reverse swell or a filtered noise breath to make the loop feel haunted. And if the second drop needs a lift, don't just add more layers. Change the roll of one layer. Make the mid harsher, make the atmosphere emptier, or make the sub rhythm slightly more syncopated. All right, let's bring it home.